Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniels, Tennessee Honey, and Cope Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Pride of Detroit PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Hi, we got a goddamn trade.
Wee woo, wee woo.
We got a trade. Open up the box. What's in the box? It's a trade. You got an Everson Griffith. Congratulations, Lions. You have decided here in October 27th, 2020, the year of our Lord. There, sitting right in front of you, you've decided to make a trade. Everson Griffith for a 6th round conditional pick. And guess what? For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be talking about it here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. I'm Christopher Fett, your adequate host. That man next to me, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/Pride Detroit, where you should be, but also download the podcast on every platform you can, is Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. And beneath me, not physically, but, you know, just in the Twitch layout, the Discord layout, what do you want from me? God, is Ryan Matthews, the rock god, at Ryan_POD. Guys, today's fun. We get to talk about interesting moves and stuff.
I love myself an emergency pod. Almost always is good news. I think today definitely qualifies as good news. They're down. We shouldn't be necessarily throwing a parade quite yet, and we'll get to that. But the Lions went and added a pass rusher, and a pass rusher that we're all familiar with, a pass rusher that we all know was very talented, at least in the past. Still in the future, we'll see. But the Lions were aggressive. They made a move, and it didn't cost them all that much. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. How about you, Ryan?
I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer, which yes. I usually am.
Yes.
So, I mean, I have my reservations about it from what I've seen on Lions Twitter. Like, but that's just kind of like the id of, you know, Lions fandom we always speak of. But I think what the Lions did was they made a move, and I wasn't sure whether or not they would do anything. So I think making a move definitely tips the needle in one direction. And I like that they did something and that they actually decided to move the needle.
It definitely has some. It's funny about moving the needle. So Everson Griffith, you know, the Lions are getting him from the Cowboys. I think there's some questions about what kind of Everson Griffith are you getting? You're definitely not getting Griffin at the height of his powers, I would say. You know, it's been rough. He's 32. His play in Dallas has been rough, to say the least.
Yep.
But I think the price was right here. A 6th round conditional pick to Dallas. The Lions need some help on their edge rush. I think this was a flyer. The Lions were right to do it. I think we worry too much about the cost sometime and about the what ifs and the, hey, you know, it would be nice to turn this into something. But I think we talked about this in the previous mailbag. We were like, hey, the Lions traded this one draft pick and it turned into, like, you know, Will Harris or something. Like, just, you got to let, especially if it's 6th round conditional, just go for it, man. In the words of Ja, was it Ja Rule at Fyre Festival? Let's just do it and be legends, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this will end up being quite. Hopefully, it doesn't end up so infamous as Fyre Fest. That's for sure. Yeah. But
hopefully, he doesn't turn out to be the cheese sandwich.
Yeah. But yeah, giving up a conditional 6th round pick for Everson Griffin, it doesn't involve much risk. So that's why I'm cool with it. Like, he, as we mentioned, he's not the player that he was in years before when he was absolutely terrorizing Detroit. And the reason why Matthew Stafford was getting x-rays to his ribs because he was just, you know, relentlessly putting so much pressure on the guy that, you know, he set him up in the x-ray machine. But like, he's going to be a welcome addition to like perhaps one of the most, if not the most starved pass rushes in the entire NFL. So I think that's where you kind of, that's where you start with Everson Griffen, is that low risk. I'm not even going to call it a low risk, high reward move. I'm just going to say like, it's a low risk move that, you know, you can live with him not living up to being a sixth round pick because you're not hitting on too many sixth round picks these days.
And I mean, the value is there, even if he isn't the Everson Griffen we saw a couple of years ago in Minnesota, or even, you know, the first half of last season in Minnesota, he's an improvement because the Lions are dreadfully thin at defensive end. Like they're playing okay right now. And I even just put out an article about how great Romeo Okwara has been and Trey Flowers has been fine too. But where's the depth behind that? Because they had, you know, Julian Okwara was the plan there. Austin Bryant was the plan there. Both those guys are injured right now. Maybe we see Austin Bryant eventually come back on the field. But remember, he's still essentially in training camp mode right now because he missed all of training camp. He returned to practice last week. He's still a couple weeks out, I think, from returning from IR. So now at least you just have another piece there. And it's probably a guy that's better than both Julian Okwara and Austin Bryant where they're currently at. So, I mean, it's depth. At the very worst, it's depth for half a season. And I'll take that for $1.5 million, $3 million, whatever it's going to end up costing line in cap space, which is not much. And then, as we said, that draft pick is throwaway. I don't, even if it becomes a fifth round pick, throwaway. I don't care.
Yeah, this was low risk, potentially high reward. And it's the kind of move you want to make right now. As you say, the depth isn't great for the Lions right now. This is still not a great pass rush. You need the help. It's funny, Ryan, we were just working on pulling back the curtain a little bit. We were literally just working on a roundtable today about, hey, what should the Lions do in free agency? And besides a couple of, I think we talked about this in the mailbag too, besides a couple of like, corners we threw in there, a lot of it was edge rushing, and I even once again got back on my horse about JJ Watt. Let me just say this is a lot cheaper than JJ Watt, and they're about the same age. And I mean, look, it's going to be rough to see if Griffen can get back to what he was in Minnesota. Lions fans remember it pretty well because Griffen always played like a hell beast against the Detroit Lions. So you kind of remember those a little bit more when he's beating up on your team. But I think, yeah, I mean, you got to weigh what he's been doing recently. It might not pan out to be anything. Sometimes some of these trades, Jeremy, I know you have something to say about a trade made by the Lions in 2018, just don't work out, even though it's like, hey, this looks great on paper. But again, two things. One, the price ain't that bad, Chief. It's a pretty damn good price to give up. The Cowboys are desperate to get whatever they can. And these are the kind of moves you want to make right now. Like if you are serious about saying, hey, you know, we're around, we're serious about actually trying to win and turning around the narrative, then go for it, man.
Yeah. And with the trade deadline right around the corner, the thing every year is that you need to have two dance partners. And this was just a situation in which, you know, the Cowboys were ready to be sellers. Their season isn't going anywhere. And that's saying a lot for a team in the NFC East, that they don't view themselves as being viable contenders for that division. So like you said, Chris, they want to get anything that they could for Everson Griffen. And a sixth round pick is hardly anything at all to give up for Everson Griffen. And, I don't know if we want to get too much into like what his role is going to be here in Detroit now, or if we want to talk about that on the other side of the break. But I'm excited to see what he can add in terms of depth, as Jeremy said, because the other thing is, you know, you mentioned the injury to Okwara and he's on IR. Austin Bryant just coming back. You know, a lot of this defensive, or, you know, some of the pieces of this defensive line necessarily can't be trusted to stay healthy, like Deshaun Hand. I mean, are you counting on him to be a contributor for the rest of the season when, you know, he hasn't played an entire healthy season in the NFL? It's going to be a nice addition to a defensive line that had no depth whatsoever and had some, you know, potential contributors. I mean, can you count on the same level of contributions that Romeo Okwara has been putting in? You know, you haven't seen the sustained level of play. You've seen the short little burst from him where he's been a good pass rusher. But is this something that you're going to be able to count on in weeks 14, 15 and 16?
I think that's true of a lot of these kind of random pieces the Lions have picked up over the years, too. And it's something that will hurt them at times. And I mean, look, it's very hard to find players in the NFL that are going to be consistent weeks 1 to 17 at the end of the day, too. I think let's get onto that right now, though, as where Griffin will fit. We've got about 5 minutes left in the segment. Let's do it right now. Where we think Griffin's going to fit this. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to be a good fit. I know he's mostly playing 4-3 over there in Minnesota, but the Lions really like to mix things up. They play four down a lot. I think when you first get him, he's essentially just going to be a pass rusher. He's going to be a situational pass rusher. He's not going to take Trey Flowers off the field. He's not going to take Romeo Okwara off the field. He's going to be on the field with those guys in third down because they like to just throw every pass rusher they can on obvious passing down. So the key will be for Lions to keep this run game going, the run defense going that they have in the past couple weeks, get into those obvious passing downs. And what I think they're really going to like about Everson Griffin is, yeah, he might not have the speed that he used to. He might not be able to beat guys off the edge, but he's still got the strength. And that, I mean, I think back to the highlights of Matt Patricia coaching the Senior Bowl, and he's telling the defensive ends, like, don't beat guys with your speed, beat them with your strength. And that's what he's going to take. That's what he's going to love about Everson Griffin. And that's why they traded for the guy. He's going to beat guys with his strength that I think he still has at his age. And so he's going to, I think they might use him kind of all over the place. He might be, you know, one tech, three tech, five tech, wide nine, even. I know you guys love wide nine back to the Jim Schwartz days. He's going to be all over the place. And I think it's going to be good for them because I don't, like I said, I don't think they have a plethora of pass rushers, especially if they incur any sort of injury. So I think early on, you're not going to see a ton of production out of him in terms of being out there all the time. But I think situational pass rusher to begin with, then they'll kind of see what he's got. Maybe they get him into some early downs later in the season. But early on, I think he's going to be your situational pass rusher, and I think he's going to be effective.
Yeah, I could see them. We were even talking before then about, you know, I thought, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to have Flowers, Romeo Okwara, and Griffin out there. I mean, on here, how do we put up the pass rush? And you're even telling me, Jeremy, like, we could honestly see put Flowers in at the nose tackle.
They do that, yeah.
And then just, yeah, go with all of those guys out there. Okwara looked really good against Atlanta. Like, you know, if you can get all those guys working at the same time, that's kind of your, that would be a good end goal there. We're starting to see guys getting a little more comfortable with this defense again. Yeah, what you got for me, Ryan?
I was just going to bring up some of the stats from PFF because I know people love those. But a 56.6 overall grade for Everson Griffin so far in 2020 in his time with the Cowboys. And we mentioned this earlier at the, you know, the top of the segment that his time in Dallas has been a little bit lackluster. But I think the most important thing, and I know we're team don't care about sacks. I mean, sacks are such a unpredictable and just kind of like a random stat of sorts that doesn't really give you a great idea of how good somebody is at pass rushing necessarily, because those could be coverage sacks, though. I mean, it's a very misleading stat, but the statistic that PFF shot out from their Twitter account at PFF underscore Lions was 12.9% pressure rate, and that's 26 a month among edge defenders. And that would be the second best rate on the Lions. So the thing is, I completely agree with Jeremy. Like, I think that Everson Griffin is not going to come in and be a starter. He's not going to come in and play starter snaps. He's going to be a situational pass rusher that's going to come in on second and long when teams are passing or third down. And they're just going to let him pin his ears back and go after the quarterback. I'm totally cool with that. The Lions didn't really have a guy like that. I mean, Romeo Okwara was doing it, but he was doing it in a limited capacity, and we haven't seen him do it for a sustained period of time. Trey Flowers was paid to be that guy. Trey Flowers can't do it on his own, and Trey Flowers is asked to do so much more. And at this point in his career, Everson Griffin, he's not the run defender that he once was. He's not going to do any of that. So I'm not calling him a one-trick pony, but he's going to kind of fill that role, don't you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe one of the keys here, and this could be also something that makes Lions fans a little concerned, is we've seen the Lions defense over the past 2 weeks get a lot more aggressive, right? They're mixing up their pressure looks. They're sending more blitzes. Having a guy like Griffin now in that pass rush package means they don't have to do that as often. Means maybe they can just rush four. And I know that's going to set alarms for people. They're like, no, keep being aggressive. Keep doing pressure. Keep sending more guys. But if you got more, I think in an ideal world, Matt Patricia wants to send four and get pressure so that he can have all of those guys and the seven other guys in coverage, maybe do more man coverage. So I think this gives them that opportunity to be the defense that Matt Patricia wants them to be and be more effective than they have been in the past.
Yeah, leave some more linebackers in coverage so you stop having situations where Calvin Ridley is like constantly open over the middle or something. You know, just have more. You don't need to worry about that too much. And like, it is cool when Tracy Walker comes in for the blitz, but you know, when you need it from the coverage, by all means. I want to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about where the Lions go from here, because I believe they're not done, or they shouldn't consider themselves done after this. There's still a lot of work to be done, but we'll talk about that and talk about more on Griffin when we come back here. We take a quick break on the Pride of Detroit podcast. 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
And back again on the Pride of Detroit podcast emergency edition as we talk about the Lions trading for Everson Griffin, because, you know, we just boot this thing up whenever we want to talk. That's what it is. So again, whenever this stuff goes down, check out our Twitter at Pride of Detroit and look for when we talk about, hey, we're going to go live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit, because, or if you follow us on Twitch, you can be alerted whenever we go live. And when we go live, it's usually because we want to hang out with y'all, or it's time to talk something like this. Guys, I do want to ask, because as I've been harping on, I think the best part of this trade for Everson Griffin is that the Lions didn't give up much. However, I don't think if I am in that mythical spot where every modern fan wants to be, not in the shoes of the player, but in the shoes of the coach or the general manager, I would not be done after Everson Griffin.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. I don't think Everson Griffin makes them a Super Bowl contender. I don't think we're. But yeah, no, I mean, in an ideal world, yes, they go out and get a linebacker that comes in and suddenly they're a great defense. And suddenly, you know, the offense clicks and maybe they're not just a playoff, you know, contender. They're a postseason contender. But I kind of think this might be it, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think this team is necessarily capable or in a position to make a big slash, spend a first rounder on someone like Stephon Gilmore or go out and get, you know, whoever. I mean, the question is who's out there? Like, we don't even know. Quinnen Williams, a lot of people are talking about. There's reports that he's not available. There's reports that he is available. I don't know. I think the Lions just made a nice little kind of blip on the radar move that fits a big need, that doesn't cost them much. And that's what you do. I mean, not every team can go out and just make a big splash at the trade deadline. I know it's been more active than it has in previous years, but I think this is a good start. And the issue is we're so early in the season at this point, especially considering the no offseason. I think a lot of teams are just still trying to figure out what they've got and the guys that they've got. and the lines are just starting to find things that are clicking. They're starting to see that Romeo Okwara is clicking. They're starting to see that maybe Reggie Raglan deserves more snaps than a guy like Tavai or Davis or Christian Jones. I think they're just going to develop the guys they've got. And why like get a veteran corner when you want your guys like Jeff Okuda and Amani Oruwariye to develop? I think they've got enough to contend for the playoffs this season. And then why spend future resources beyond that? Because I don't think this team is going to contend for a Super Bowl. They might contend for the playoffs. They might get to the playoffs, but like you still have to keep the future in design. So like I'm kind of fine with where they're at. And I think they're going to be fine with where they're at.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people are already forgetting how ready they were. They were to move on from Darius Slay, you know, and if you're interested in getting a guy like Stephon Gilmore, he's on the wrong side of 30. And I'm not saying that Gilmore is washed by any means, but I am saying that if you're making an investment in somebody like a Stephon Gilmore, it's A, going to cost you a lot. I mean, you're talking probably at least a second round pick, if not a first round pick, because this is a guy who was an all pro. I think he was the defensive player of the year last year in 2019. So you got Stephon Gilmore on the market, apparently, but he's not going to come cheap. And, you know, like Jeremy said, it's I think with the limited offseason, I think a lot of teams are really just finding out what they have. And there are some teams that are absolute tire fires, like the Dallas Cowboys, and the Lions went and they got one of their best players. So, I mean, that's just what it was. Now, is Griffin going to be enough to turn this team into a Super Bowl contender? I'm with Jeremy. No. I don't even know if the Lions can contend for the playoffs just because of the hole they kind of dug themselves in the beginning of the season. But I mean, it remains to be seen. Maybe Everson Griffin is the magic elixir to the Lions pass rush. And all of a sudden it goes from really, really bad to average. If the Lions pass rush goes to average, all of a sudden you're not so worried about Amani Oruwariye and Jeff Okuda as your starting cornerbacks because there's a pass rush. And if any of us were around for 2014, we saw what a pass rush did for the cornerbacks that season. I mean, that was a year of, you know, Rasheen Mathis and Chris Houston and a young Darius Slay. Like, I mean, that wasn't necessarily a secondary to write home about. But when you had the likes of, you know, Ndamukong Suh and Ezekiel Ansah and Nick Fairley all pushing up front, like it made a huge difference. The Lions don't have that, and I'm not saying Everson Griffin is going to be that, but if the Lions can develop some sense of a pass rush, it improves the rest of their team.
Really, really quick, just like, I mean, if you kind of scope out and look at their defensive line, you look at the way that John Penasidi is playing, you look at the way Deshaun Hand just had a really good game, and Danny Shelton, you throw in Trey Flowers and Everson Griffin on the side, and that's not really a bad-looking defensive line. I would say, like, if all those guys are firing on all cylinders, we love to talk about cylinders here on the Pride Detroit podcast. If all those guys are firing all of their cylinders, however many cylinders they've got left in the chamber, that's an above average defensive line. Maybe even a good or I won't quite say great, but a good one.
Yeah, I think we're fine on the defensive line. But again, I want to see like more progress in the backfield right now, just because like, OK, it's been looking decent, but it's also been about against the Jaguars and the Falcons. Like, my worry isn't the middle of the schedule right now. My worry comes, the fear comes later, as I said in Stock Report. The fear comes later when they have to turn around and play the Bears, who may or may not be good. I'm immediately eating crow after the last podcast, after what the Rams did to them. But, you know, it might have just been a bad game. I don't know. Either way, the Bears could still beat us another time. That's not a instant dub right there. Packers, Titans, Bucks, second meeting with the Vikings in January, like, and if the goal is to make the playoffs, you do need to kind of go a little harder than you usually have. I just don't think that standing two pad is going to really help you out. You kind of have to show that, you know, man, you want it, go for it, do it. But what do you have to lose? Like, that's all I'm going to say. Like, we keep wringing our hands over draft capital and everything, but what do you have to lose here, man?
Draft capital.
I don't care. After day one, I don't care about a lot of the draft capital. I'm sorry. I just don't. Like, I'm a dumb rhesus monkey, but honestly, dumb rhesus monkey moves work in the NFL sometimes because, as we were just talking about during the break, like, you can't really sell the farm necessarily unless you package a strange deal. Like, who was the team that did that? Damn. Never mind. I've completely forgotten my point.
Wow. But I guess my overall point is this team is about to face some good quarterbacks. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks left on their schedule. Tannehill's left on the schedule. I know that's a weird one to lead off with, but it's true. You got Tom Brady. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got Deshaun Watson. You're going to need to rattle some of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, maybe, if he's playing for them. I the thing is, like, they don't give me that look.
I'm so offended if he's playing for them. Teddy Bridgewater's a good quarterback so far this year, but go ahead.
But what they can't do is just sit back and let them pick them apart, because that's what they've let them do against good quarterbacks. And
right.
Matt Ryan did it last week, too. But we saw, like, we saw what the Bucs did to Aaron Rodgers, right? I Everson Griffin doesn't make the Lions defensive front, the Tampa Bay Bucs defensive front,
right.
But it gets them closer. It gets them closer, and it gives them some options to rattle a guy like Aaron Rodgers, because they can't let Aaron Rodgers pick him apart again.
Jeremy, I want you to get to the one interesting similarity we can see between this trade and another trade that Bob Quinn made in 2018.
Yeah, real
let's
quick.
Let's talk about it.
I've got to put my own complaints aside, because now we're too late into this, and I had a lot more points. But no, I want to get to this, and I want to get to some questions from chat.
Well, the elephant in the room is, yes, there are a lot of on the surface similarities to Lions at 3-3, just like they were in 2018, going out and trading for Damon Harrison. We all threw a party then, because, wow, what a humongous run defender. He's going to turn around our run defense, turn around our entire season. And he didn't do that. And yeah, it looked great. And then, of course, a week later, they lose to the Seahawks. They trade Golden Tate away, and the rest is history. I don't know where else you want me to go with this. Like, Everson Griffin is probably not as good as Damon Harrison was when they traded for them. The Lions could certainly go out and lose to the Colts, and then who knows what they do in the day or two before the trade deadline after that. But
trade Marvin Jones.
The difference, I will say, is, like, I don't know if I felt that's not even true. I was going to say, I don't know if I felt the Lions were trending in the right direction back in 2018, but that's a lie. I did, because they just came off that big win against the Dolphins. But yeah, I don't know. Like, what else do you want to talk about in terms of the similarity there? Is there a point I'm missing there?
Well, no. I mean, I think
out like a hot steaming turd. That's all.
I think the point is, and you made it, is that, you know, Damon Harrison came in and he really did change the Lions run defense. The Lions run defense went from one of the worst in the league to, like,
sure,
a little bit actually above average. I don't know if Everson Griffin is going to come in here and all of a sudden make the Lions, that really bad pass rush unit, into, like, the average, maybe slightly above average pass rush unit. But if he does, I almost think that it has a bigger impact on the Lions defense and maybe even their team as a whole than the Damon Harrison move does, which is really weird for me to say, because on paper, I think I would rather the Lions go out and get, like, another Damon Harrison-esque 2018 player and add him to the run defense than to add Everson Griffin, who, like, is kind of like a mystery, but it could be interesting.
All right, let's get to some questions here to wrap up before we get out of here. I know there's a couple in Twitch chat right now. Again, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit. Jeremy, do you have them picked out?
Yeah, let me scroll up really quick, but I should be able to pick them out real quick. Joshua Mercer asks, Griffin doesn't know the defense yet, but do you think Patricia tries to piece him in? Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Griffin, and he's been around the league for, what, 11 seasons now. He's probably seen it all. And I know, like, we mentioned at the top, he's a 4-3 guy. This will be a little bit different from him. But I think the key for the Lions is they'll put him in. They'll put him in a position where he's been before on those third downs, be that situational guy, and just be like, rush a passer. You don't need to know the scheme. Just rush a passer. Just go do what you do. Rush a passer. You don't need to learn all this complicated stuff. And maybe he eventually gets down there. But honestly, you're here for a half a season. You know what he does well. You put him in positions where he does things well, and don't overcomplicate things for him.
The other nice thing is, too, is that he's not going to come in and immediately play this week against Indianapolis. He has to wait another week because of COVID protocol. So he does get that kind of, like, extra week, right, to prepare.
And we haven't even mentioned it yet. Who does he get to play first game of the season for him?
Skull.
Minnesota Vikings. That's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a revenge one.
And I don't think that that was necessarily a marriage that ended very happily.
No, it did not.
Opted out. I mean, he voluntarily opted out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have this question here. I'm trying to find who it came from. I apologize. I didn't copy down the name. Believe they ask us. So believe last time that the Lions picked up a defensive lineman in a trade, corresponding trade happened with a wide receiver. Do you think history repeats itself?
I mean, I just said, like, what if Marvin Jones is the guy who gets traded?
That seems likely, just between the up and down production of Marvin Jones, the contract involved, fact that you've got some younger guys who can perform among your wide receivers, that you've got a veteran like Amendola in the slot, and TJ Hockenson is your tight end. Like,
yeah, you know. But I think with the way that Marvin Jones played last week against Atlanta, that should have been a reminder that, like, he is still a sure-handed guy who's going to catch you passes when you need passes catched. I know that's hashtag analysis, but I'm saying, like, like, Marvin Jones is a veteran dude that, like, you want to have on your team. And I think that a la if they, you know, trade him the same way that they traded Golden Tate back in 2018, it's kind of like wiping your hands with the season, isn't it?
Here's the thing. But I would say this, and like the only reservation I have about Marvin Jones, I know a lot of people are rushing, like, as you say, it's easy now to rush and say, hey, he reminded you this game. Cool. But I remember when he was with Cincinnati for a long time, and like he would put up one of these games and then ghost. So I want to, like, what I've always wanted to see out of Marvin Jones, and it's always something I've wanted to see in Detroit, is just consistency. So you'll have a chance for consistency next week. You know, you have another week before the trade deadline, so I don't think anything gets moved by then. So, but still, like, I'm not going to give Marvin Jones this just on one game, is my point.
I wouldn't compare it. I think it's still a possibility. A lot depends on what happens in this next game against Indy. But I think the Lions are definitely in a better position trading away Marvin Jones than they were against Golden Tate, because they didn't have a backup slot that year. I don't even remember who came in. That goes to show you that they weren't prepared.
Yeah, depth was bad at wide receiver that year.
Yeah, once Marvin Jones leaves, guess what? Quintus Cephas time. I'm okay with that. He looked okay in week one, right? I mean, he's not as talented. He's not going to come in and catch 60 in a touchdown, but he's someone who I think we expect to have a future in Detroit. And so if he has to take over, I don't know if that's giving up on the season. It doesn't feel like it to me. It feels like potentially just getting, I don't know, fourth rounder out of someone that's probably not going to be on the team in 2021. It's not a horrible move, but it doesn't make the team better.
Especially,
and so
if you can maybe,
that's important to point out.
Yeah, especially if you can take that capital you would get from Jones, then flip it for another trade in the middle of a season. Like, I don't know.
You probably can't at this point.
Well, that would have to happen pretty quick. But like, yeah. Don't you don't care about draft capital after day one, right?
Nope, really don't. I just don't. I leave day two to the nerds like you guys. I would say this though. Like you mentioned, just as a parting thought, like this trade deadline does feel really, really early for various reasons. And it kind of sucks because once again, the Lions have already taken their bye. And by the time the deadline comes, there's still going to be like 10 weeks left of the season. It feels like, wow, nine. It sucks.
Nine games left.
It's hard to figure this thing out because I'm sure by near the end of the season, we're going to be looking at the draft and talking about needs that they could have filled during a trade deadline. So,
You know, the best thing that the Lions could acquire, an extra bye week, like someone breaks COVID protocol and they get an extra bye week. That's the thing that would help them the most.
How much would you pay for an extra bye week?
I don't want anybody to get sick.
A fifth rounder.
I'd buy that for a dollar. I think that's a good place to stop it right there. We're over time. So, let's stop it right here. We'll have more for you coming up later in the week. First Bite is coming. Man Coverage is coming. And then the full Pride of Detroit POD cast. Maybe a mailbag episode somewhere in there too in the next week or two. And we'll definitely have trade deadline reactions as well if the Lions continue to make moves, which, cross your fingers. For me, cross your fingers. For these other guys, I don't know if they think as much. But, yes, do it. Go nuts. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
supermarket sweep it. Just grab that golden ham.
Here I was going for a Batman. I was going for a Batman thing, and you have to throw that for like just in there. Like, we're just awful. We're awful human.
Stay away
beings.
From the coffee grinder.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
I already have one. For myself, for Jeremy, for Ryan, we'll see you Starside.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari, W, and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.